Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word. All right, y'all can be seated. Well, thank you for being here. I know that the crowd on a Wednesday night during camp is going to be a little smaller because we've got a lot of helpers there and we've got a lot of youth there. But thank you for being here tonight. And I'm not preaching to all of them. They're not here. I'm preaching and teaching to you. And so I know that it is not ever by an accident that you come to church. It's always by appointment. It's what I believe. And so as we continue on in this series, it's my night to talk about what has shaped and helped really, really Michelle and I build our life on the rock of Jesus. And so everyone who's been speaking, including myself, was asked a few questions. So let me just start out by letting you know what the questions were that was asked of us to prepare for this series. And so we've got different speakers. I think next week Adam's going to be talking, so you don't want to miss Adam. But to build a life on the rock, the first question is, in what areas of life has God through his word truly transformed your thinking? Man, I'm telling you, that's a hard question, because the more you mature in the Lord and the further you go with the things of God, there's hundreds of ways that I think different. And he's transformed my thinking. The second question was, practically speaking, what did you do to change the way that you thought? What did you do practically? And I love that question because the Bible's very practical. We oftentimes don't look at it that way, but there's a lot of practical things in the scripture. Number three, what one thing would you share that helped you with your walk and has now been a foundation for how you build life? So let me just start with that. Here is the one thing in my life that God has really revealed to me that he's God. We go, well, Pastor, obviously we know. No, he's God and he has a plan. He's God and he has a plan. Now, this may seem so simple, but it really is. And I never saw him as that. I tried to be God of my own life, tried to make all my own decisions. He's God and he has a plan. And I would see bumper stickers that said, I believe in God, and that settles it. So, you know, whatever. I believe God said it, and that settles it. I agree with that. But the one that I can't stand is the one that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It don't matter if you believe it or not. He's still God. Right. And that settles it. Now, you can either get in on his plan or you don't have to. But it helps your life if you'll get in on it. And so God is God, and he has a plan. And here's the thing that really woke me up. I was able to see that he has a plan for a lot of other people's lives. And if I would learn from some of them, he's no respecter of persons, and he'd do it for me too. The Bible's full of stories of people that God used, and it's there so that you can get encouraged and recognize he can do it for you too. It's that easy. So there's a scripture that you're going to hear, and because I'm pastor, you're going to hear most of what I'm saying tonight, because if you've been here any length of time, I'm always sharing some of these scriptures because they're the foundations for my life. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. See, God gives rest to his loved ones. And we work and we work and we work, but without God, it's useless. Trying to build a marriage without God being the builder. God's plan. It's God's way. And I still get into conflict and frustration at times. And I can tell you, it's always a result of me forgetting that God's God. And if I just get that in my head, things would turn around. And when I do, they do. Now, it may take some time, but God's God. And here's some other scripture that just really helps me with my thinking. Romans 8:28, when I do mess things up
and I'm frustrated, and then I get back in God's plan and doing it his way, there's still some consequences for the mess ups. But I can know that all things work together for good. I can know that to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So when you get in on his purposes and his plans, even the mess ups in life can turn around and work together for good. But you've got to know that there's got to be a love for him and his purpose for your life. And then Matthew 6:33 is another verse. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. God first. Seek it above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got plenty of its own worries. Today's trouble's enough for today. And I just tell you, every day in life, there'll be something that you can dwell on, a trouble, and then you're thinking, no, this is messing my day up. Now it's going to mess up my tomorrow, and it's probably going to mess up next week. And you just start, wait. Just worry about what you got to deal with right now. There's enough troubles today instead of putting that all into tomorrow. So those are some verses that have really been a part of my testimony. And many of you have heard that my marriage fell apart and God healed it. And so I can go in and talk about thing after thing about how much it was Michelle's fault until I realized it wasn't. And there are just some things in that whole testimony that are near and dear to my heart because they help me to see life different. They help me to realize that I had a part in this. It wasn't everybody else's fault for where I was. It wasn't my parents' fault. I can sit here and try to blame my parents. I can try to blame my wife. I can try to blame how I was raised or where I was raised at, the circumstances of life. And I hear people doing that all the time. And I can tell you, every time you do that, you're just leaving God out of the mix. And so go right back to, he's God and he has a plan. And so before CMC, during the marriage trouble, I look back and I was frustrated all the time because I didn't have a marriage that I could look to in my life that I wanted to really, I wanted to receive the wisdom from. And we didn't know where to turn. We didn't know what to do. And so my testimony was Tim Brooks. I'd met him and he invited us to a marriage conference in Branson. And I thought, well, sure, let's just try it. Maybe she'll hear something because she's not listening to me. And so we went to our first marriage conference, and it was really fun. I mean, it really was. I was sitting there, and the beginning of this thing was one of the greatest things I ever heard in my life. Tim was talking about duct tape and the importance of duct tape to fix a car. And he said when they got married, he had a car that had a hole in the floorboard. Well, I related to that. I mean, our car had a baseball bat holding up the seat. And so I'm like, this guy's got it figured out now. And he was talking about how frustrated his wife was all the time at that time of life. And I thought, I know, I'm right there right now in this time. She's frustrated all the time. And I was relating to these stories. I mean, he had bought all his dishes at Walmart and his wife wanted to buy them all at Dillard's. And there's a difference in price in those two things. And so, you mix match dishes and then you got everything you need to eat on. You don't need these fancy things. There was a difference in how they were raised. And I can tell you, I was sitting there just laughing because I just thought it was so cool that there was another marriage that had failed besides just mine, and that he dealt with the same issues with his wife that I was dealing with presently with mine. He got my attention, and I thought, okay, I got to pay attention to some of this because he's still married, and he's dealt with all of this stuff, and I just remember that being a really cool thing. And then he'd keep talking, and then he turned it around, and he started blaming himself for a lot of the problems. And I'm like, whoa, 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 it's all her fault. And I just remember that story like it was yesterday. It's way before the church ever started. And I was blown away because he started recognizing that there were things that he was going to have to change because you'll never have the power to change somebody else. You can only change yourself. And so I was sitting there and I thought, okay, well, let's look at where my problems are. And I had a hard time finding any. But when I identified that I was just as much at fault for where we were as she was, I started, okay, what's going to change some of my thinking? And that's where Psalm 127 came in. I was just trying to do it all. I thought that I could figure it all out. And so everything boiled down to, in my life, I'd look back and realize I was the problem for where I was. I was the issue for my thinking. And then I realized, wait, God has a plan, and it's bigger than my mess ups. I believe that for salvation. Why can't I believe it for everything else? It's the only things that I, as I looked back and looked at things that had worked in our life, was always when we had learned something from God's people. It really was. It was my grandfather, my mom, different people that followed the Lord and wanted to do it God's way. And then I said, we got to do it this way because this is the way grandpa does it. This is the way mom. And those are two that was in my family. But then we got to meet some people at church. Our Sunday school teacher at church started taking us through. We'd have a Bible study. It was kind of like a life group. And I just remember us praying about things and talking about things in that life group, and life started changing for us. And I everything that I look back that had been good always pointed to God's people somewhere. Everything did. So I made a decision during the time of God healing our marriage and our lives to start listening more to God's people. Because I was real quick to listen to anyone, in the sense of, I just wanted to hear what do you think about this? And if I could get somebody on my team complaining, misery enjoys company. And the company they enjoy is others' misery. And so we just, every time I could talk about issues in life, boy, I'm having a problem here. Boy, I have a problem there too. Well, let's talk about how horrible our problems are. Who's got the worst one here? And that's where I would go, and I started realizing that's not ever taken me anywhere in life. It was only God's people saying, okay, yeah, I understand you have a problem, but Jesus came, and God has a bigger plan and has a way out of this. Do you want his take on it, or do you want to stay where you're at? That's not really what you want to hear when you got a problem. You want someone to just wallow in the mud with you. I mean, can I just have somebody be just as frustrated as I am? But I made a decision. I was going to start listening to God's people and getting advice from God's people. That's what I wanted to do. Proverbs 11:14. Where there's no counsel, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And here's what hit me. The best place for godly counsel is where God is. And I knew that he was in church. I knew that much. I knew that there were people in church that weren't really good, but there was some good in there. And there was always somebody that was going to help me with where I was. So now, one of the things that you can know through that process, it taught me some things. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you tonight. But I don't listen to much counsel that isn't backed by fruit. You can just know, I'm not talking to you about anything to give me advice on that hasn't already worked for you. And I have a problem with people preaching and teaching methods instead of success stories. How do you overcome? By your testimony? The blood of the Lamb? It's you and God together. And you testifying his plan in your life. That's how we're going to overcome whatever we're dealing with in life. So I just don't listen to much counsel that's not already been backed by fruit. And I had asked a ton of people how you stay married and how I could do better, how she can do better, how we can save our marriage. But it wasn't until I saw marriage being successful with Tim and Terry Brooks, our pastors from Hot Springs, which they weren't our pastors at that point, but we saw that their marriage was working for them, and they actually had fun. And I'd go to their church. After being in hundreds of churches, I go to their churches, and it's like all the couples seemed to enjoy each other. It was really weird. I'd been in church my whole life, and couples didn't like each other. I mean, that's what I had seen. So, what I find is that scripture in Proverbs 11:14, if there's safety in a multitude of counsel, and the best counsel has been from church, then if I could get some counsel, it could bring some safety in my life. And safety, what's the opposite of safety? If you think of what's safe, what's not safe is something that could get you in a lot of trouble, that could cause a lot of pain. Safety keeps you from pain, produces peace, produces everything's going to be okay. That's what safety does. But when there's no safety, life's in turmoil. And you're probably going to get hurt. So I'd rather be on the safe side of things. Well, how do you do that? In a multitude of counsel. A multitude of counsel gets you safety. What kind of safe? Well, safe from living frustrated and getting you stuck. If I could learn to get some advice from God's people on how to keep me from getting stuck in life, I needed it. And then I learned later that that means being proactive. Proactive. Such a big word for my life. I mean, proactive means getting things activated on the front end. Not in the middle, not after the frustration, but on the front end. I'm watching a life right now outside of here, but I'm talking about in the world. Everybody's reactive. We make decisions for our country, our government, and we do it based on being reactive. And if we could be proactive, we could live better. But I realized that, okay, get off government stuff and just talk about my own life. People react all the time. Many parents live reacting to what their kids are doing. Please know I'm not talking about anybody here. When you set the groundwork on the front end, you don't have to live reactive, because when something happens, you don't have to react to it. You've already got things set in order to take care of it. I can sleep when the wind blows. I just can't. Why? Because I've already been proactive in my approach. My stuff's anchored down. My cars are in the garage. There's just some things that I don't. I told Michelle tonight, we're riding to church on the Ranger because there's a chance of storms. And they said, golf ball to tennis ball, hell. I don't know what y'all going to do, but I was proactive. I'm still in church, but I don't care if the Ranger gets hit. I didn't want one of my cars. If it starts raining, I'll let you go. We'll be proactive. Or will we be reactive? See, I just think about this all the time. We want to be on the front end of things, not the back end of things. Something happens and people react. And I'm thinking, is there anything that could have kept that from happening? And there usually is. And so I wanted that for my life. When you see kids running in church, and then the parents are running after them. Hey, quit that, quit that. That's called reactive. When you are setting it up with them before you ever get to church, this isn't where we're going to be running, and you're going to stay right by me, you have to remind them a couple times, but we're proactive and we get this set up on the front end, you don't have a react. Life is just much easier on the front end. It really is. And one of the major reasons I believe there are so many stories of people's failures in scriptures is so we can learn from them and not repeat them. There's a lot of failure in scripture. Learning from someone else's failures should keep you from having to make them. Now know this, I don't like getting up and talking about all my failures. I sure don't like talking about all the failures I've had in marriage. It's not what I'm going, this is great, let me tell you how bad my life was. But if I can help one person by telling you don't do this, and then someone doesn't do it, then life could be a success for them. That's what I want to do. I want to learn from others' failures. That's being proactive. Why wait till you fail? Why not learn from somebody else's? And so that was kind of my testimony. We had seen success in families with children that, and their children were still at home with their parents. And most of that success we'd seen in Hot Springs. Not much in the circles we ran with here. We just hadn't seen it a lot. I mean, as much as we were looking for it, we were like, okay, how do we learn how to do things with our kids? How do we learn how to be proactive with our kids? How do we take this thinking that we've been learning not just in marriage conferences, but we've been diving into the practicality of the word? How do we do that? Well, we need to find somebody that has a good parenting success with kids that are further along than ours are, but that when our kids get there, we'd be okay with them to act like that. So we had seen that in Hot Springs. Michelle and I considered moving to Hot Springs a few years before the church started here. And we wanted what we saw there with our kids when our kids got to their kids' age. They were, their kids, a lot of them were in the high school and ours weren't even near that. And I thought, I thought it was cool that they, the whole family sat on the front row. I'm telling you, hundreds of churches and the kids never sat with the parents. Now, that's so cool. And so I thought, that's what I want. We got to do that. Let's move down there. We have a lot better chance of producing the same success by moving down there. But boy, we'd pray about it. We talked about it. And God wouldn't release us. So I remember talking to Tim about this. And we were friends with Tim. We had been friends with him for several years. He had been through the process of Michelle and I's marriage getting healed, but church and Christian ministries here had never been talked about. Well, we went to Tim and said, hey, we need a church in Southwest Missouri. And he said, well, I have one in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Now, you know, we need one in Southwest Missouri. And he was not real hip on that idea of him starting a church in Southwest Missouri. I said, well, just pray about it. Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. And he said, well, it sounds like God's laying that on your heart. And so I thought, The only problem was I knew my wife had told me when we were dating all the way into our marriage, know this, any boy that I ever dated, when I found out he was going to go into ministry, I'd break up with him. So when we got married, she was made it real clear, just know this, I'm not marrying a pastor. That was in my, I was in our history, and I thought, okay, well, Tim's saying he's not going to start a church here, but we need to start a church here. And I know that my wife's not going to be married to a pastor, and getting a divorce right before the church starts, probably not a good idea. So I don't know what we're going to do. So we just kept praying. I went and talked to Michelle about it, and she goes, I know. And I know that that's what we're supposed to do. And Christian Ministries started here in Southwest Missouri. Now, some things you may not know. The reason it started in Southwest Missouri is because that's where we lived. That's where we had done, that's where we were doing life. And we felt like God would use us where we were. I didn't have to pick up and move halfway across the world. I knew he was using me right where I was. And so we started it right where we were. That was the call of God on our life. And it was a practical word that I had never, ever heard in most of the churches I'd been in. How you operate on Monday morning is just as significant as how you're acting at church on Sunday. How you recreate on Friday and Saturday is just as important as what you're claiming to be on Sunday. So I need to be taught how to do that because I didn't know. I didn't know how to act through the week. I didn't know how to handle money. I sure didn't know how to be married. And so I wanted the tools that I had been given during our time of learning and healing that we had went through, I wanted that to be the model that Christian Ministries came into. And so Tim said, when he came back and said that he'd been praying about it, and he'd actually met with his staff down there. I think Adam was down at the church at that point. He was at Christian Ministries in Hot Springs. And Tim had met with the staff and said, okay, there's a Christian ministry that's going to start in Southwest Missouri. But I'm not going to start it if all the staff doesn't agree that when they need something, we're going to help them. And so I was like, I'm all about that. And he came back and said, we're going to help you. Now that help that came was for wisdom. We're going to give you information because you don't know. And what we know, we'll give you. Now we can't give you what we don't know. In fact, I think the verse was quoted, silver and gold have we none. Therefore, we're not giving you any money. And just so you know, Christian Ministries Hot Springs, this is not a bad thing. This is a great thing. They never once paid for the buildings. They didn't write a check. They didn't provide monthly support and never provided a salary. They didn't do any of the finances, but they gave us more than money would have ever been able to do here. They gave us wisdom, and every time there was an issue, I had somebody to call. And all of a sudden, everything from my testimony that I'd had the last 10 years was I was seeing it played out. God had placed someone in my life to talk to about marriage, to talk to about kids. And in 2004, Christian Ministries was formed right here. Started in our home around the coffee table. We were there for a while. We outgrew that. And then we moved to this little shop building here. Then we moved out of the shop building. We built this lower building in, what, a week? I think it went up in 3 or 4 days. And of course, we were hanging sheets and blankets on the walls because they were two before walls. But God just kept adding to every day. Now, I remember the start of Christian Ministry when Tim said, I'm in, and this is going to be the first Wednesday night. And Tim, I want to ask you right off the bat, we're getting ready to launch Christian Ministries. Here's what I think. I think that we could get a big tent, and I can put it out somewhere. We can rent some property out on the highway for a little while, and we can put this big tent and signs, and I can get over all the radio stations, and we can have this giant launch. And he goes, oh, so you're going to build the church. I thought you said you wanted to get in on God's plan and wanted God to build the church. He said, now, all I'm saying is that sounds like a lot you. But you do whatever you want. That's Tim's favorite statement. You do whatever you want. Oh, that's, yeah, I've adopted it. Melanie's like, that's what you said. So most of the time after he'd say that, I didn't do whatever I wanted. And I remember Michelle and I decided not, I called the tent company back and canceled the tent I had scheduled. And we got around the coffee table with my wife and my two daughters, and we prayed, and we didn't have a monthly support. We gave our tithe that night to the new church that had just started. And we said, God, we're believing you for the increase. We're just going to be obedient and do what you want us to do. That week we got our first call or somebody that was just, hey, we want to know where y'all are going to church. Well, we happened to start one Wednesday night. It was the next day. We started one last night. You did? Where at? In our living room. Who with? Well, Ashley and Michelle was talking. So it was kind of one of those things that, okay, God, you're going to do this, but it's not going to be quite at the rate that I was looking at. I have always struggled with my way and God's way because I start envisioning what God should get on my team and do. And I don't know if anybody else fights that, but that's a fight I've had to have in me 100 times to say, okay, God, I'm submitted to your plan, and however long it takes, I'm in. And so I continued to call Tim. Michelle said, he's going to hate you. You call him all the time. I said, because I make a lot of bad decisions, and I need someone to help steer those decisions so I don't get everything messed up. I want to be proactive. I want safety and counsel. So I submitted to the vision of CMC, and I always had someone to run an idea by and get it shut down. You wouldn't believe the things that I have dreamed. So for the first several years, I made hardly any decisions. Very, very few. In fact, I got to the point I didn't even call and say I was thinking about. I just call and say, what are you thinking about that I should do? Because here's where I'm at. I just need some help here. And so Tim being my first phone call then, I want you to know he's still my first phone call. Whenever God starts laying something on my heart, Tim, here's what I'm thinking about. And now I'm real careful before I make that phone call because I already know ahead of time that he's going to be on team. I don't call and just, I just didn't know. And you know, people don't even know what they don't know. That was me. I didn't know how dumb I was. And so sometimes I'm now, the older I get, realizing how dumb I really am and was. And I still need counsel all the time. And when you live knowing that, it should encourage you. Don't think that you have to know it all. God knows it all. Just team up with the right thing and quit trying to get him to team up with you. Team up with him. It's a big deal. Michelle and I have always been involved with the church, but it wasn't until I started living the vision for marriage, vision for parenting, vision for finances, I quit living reactive. The vision made me ask the question, where do I want to be in this area of my life in 5 years? Because I just realized that I could look at my failures and I could go back just a very short time. Sometimes I'd go back 3 or 4 years and I'd realize it all started then. It started when I wasn't having vision for this area that it ended in failure. And so Proverbs 29:18, I know you hear it from me all the time, but it just became a model in my life. Without vision, you perish. And so where did I want my marriage to be? I had to get a vision for my marriage. Because intentionally or unintentionally, 5 years will happen. And I'm going to have to know when I look back on that 5 years, I was either intentional for my marriage or I was unintentional and I didn't get what I wanted to get. And so I got a vision for marriage. I got a vision for finances. And here's what I've had. I have had, and I can't even tell you how many people say this to me. They'll look and after getting to know us a little bit, but you sure have been fortunate. Here's one of my other favorites. You sure were lucky. You just got real lucky. And I just smile and I kind of determine whether or not they want to hear anything I have to say. And I've gotten better at that. That wasn't always what I did. I'd usually just start saying it. We just come right on out. But now I think, do they want to hear anything I have to say? And anymore, I just, unless it's asked, I don't really open my mouth anymore in those areas, except from the pulpit. Because I've got myself in a lot of trouble by sharing what was right, but it was timing was wrong, and the person I was sharing it with was wrong. So when they would say, you get lucky, here's what I usually would try to get in, or now I just kind of smile and go, yeah, there was no luck in my life. Things didn't happen just by accident, and it wasn't that I was just fortunate. I got some vision, and I got in on God's plan, and it works. That's just what I did. It was the decisions that Michelle and I made to do it God's way that all of a sudden my finances are where they're at. And I don't sit here and worry about it. I don't worry about the economy. I don't worry about the stock market. I don't worry about any of that. Why? Because I'm in on God's plan, and as long as I'm doing it His way and I'm following His principles, I don't get worried about any of that. If something were to happen, He'll deliver me out of it. And that's just how I think. And so I don't live fortunate. I don't live lucky. I do live blessed. But the only way you live blessed is the peace of knowing that God has it. And His plan's bigger than yours. And so I just kind of smile when people say you got lucky or you're fortunate or whatever happens. You just tend to always come out smelling like a rose. I had a friend that used to say that all the time. No, I don't always come out smelling like a rose. I just always have roses with me. Therefore, I smell like a rose. I always have God's plan with me, and He smells good, and He looks good. See, keep things that the Lord shows you, and that's what I was doing. I was keeping them. One of the greatest, greatest stories in Scripture that helped me was that God in Genesis placed man in the garden, and He placed him there to tend it and to keep it. To watch over it, to care for it. Everything in your life has to be maintained and cared for. My father-in-law just met, we were showing him some of the work we'd done around the house in a Marco Polo, a little video chat back and forth, and we were showing him some of the things we'd done, and he goes, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you got to maintain. And I'm like, yep, that's why I'm in the season life of downsizing. Why? Because you work your whole life to get a bunch of stuff, and then you got to take care of it. And it's taking care of this and taking care of that. And I'm not against all of that. Just know you've been called to watch over and tend where you are and where God has placed you. Everything in your life is in a downhill spiral that's in the natural. And the only thing that keeps it from spiraling downward is the hand of man, because you've been placed here to tend and care for it. And that's what I realized, that was a great tool for me. That's one of the reasons I'm here. See, God placed me in several things and in several situations and allowed me to have some things that I needed to watch over. And know this, He has those same things in your life, and you need to watch and tend and care for them. You need to care for your marriage. You need to care for your kids. You need to care for that. You didn't just accidentally have kids. God placed them there as a gift. Now you need to take care of them. And you need to do it His way. The last thing in my testimony is that there's so many that believe that God is going to do something more than He's already done. God, I just need you. You have access. and you have everything that is needed. Scripture is very clear that everything that you needed has been given. So the problem would be me. The problem would be that, wait, I've got to know that everything has been given, so I just need to do my part and it'll all come together. As I look back on my life and I think, wow, God, you have used so many places I've been, positions that I was in, to do something supernatural when I was just doing something natural. I was just doing this, and all of a sudden, whoa, God, I can't believe this happened. From Michelle and I getting married, we met in church, by the way. Wow, God, everything you've done. I knew the talents that he had placed in me. I worked on them hard growing up. I thought it was basketball, but I broke my leg and realized that that wasn't what was going to work for me, and so I started diving into singing and music, and it was in high school that I would sing, and I sang, and I sang, and I was in everything, and I was in church singing. I was in the youth group singing. I was singing every time I got a chance. Well, it was through that singing that God opened a door for me to go to college on a scholarship based on music, singing. And then out of there, I got a job at Silver Dollar City singing. And it was there when I was using the gifts that God had called me into my life that Tim Brooks came up at Silver Dollar City and said, hey, we'd like to have you come down and sing at our church. We sang in hundreds of churches. That wasn't a big deal. That wasn't a wow moment at that time. But I look back now and I see how God was really orchestrating some things. By the way, I was singing at Silver Dollar City and I met Melanie, and now we've been doing this for 20 years here on a team. Don't take for granted just the natural things that are going on that God can make something supernatural happen in. We just needed some heat and air worked on. That's all we needed. And there's Nathan. Now Rachel's married because of it. I mean, you just got to know these testimonies. They're just, wow, how did this happen? Wow, God. And so if I'm going to teach anything, here's my teaching tonight. Things in life happen based on three things. One is sin nature. That's the bad stuff. The sin nature, fallen world. We're dealing with it, maybe not your sin, but somebody else's. We're dealing with it every day, the fallen world, and we're fighting it. The second thing, life happens based on what you've put into something, the work you've done. Hopefully it's God's plan that you've put into. And if you've put into it and done it his way, you can see that life happened and you did it his way. But the other thing, the third one, is God's supernatural blessings. I couldn't have manufactured that if I wanted to. I just was doing what I was called to do, and wham! How did that happen? And I realized that positioning yourself has everything to do with God showing up supernaturally. Just getting up and going to work, just doing. See, so much of life is about position, but it's not a position that you're trying to obtain. It's just doing it God's way, and then it brings a supernatural blessing. Position is everything. Here's how I see it. I am continually trying to make sure that I'm in the right position. I'm at the right place at the right time. Well, how do you do that? It's just always checking your heart. Checking your heart. Check your heart. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there's the desires of your heart will also be. And in Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so I have to all the time check my heart and make sure my desires are being given by him. Well, how do I know they're given by him? When I'm delighting in him. When I'm doing things his way. Delight means to please greatly. Is what you're doing every day pleasing God? And if you're doing that, then you're going to get right desires planted in your heart. And then you can know this, that that's when you can recognize that your treasure is being put into the right things. We treasure things in this life that a lot of times have nothing to do with God. So check your treasures. What are you treasuring? If you're treasuring the right things, then you're treasuring God things. And then you're pleasing him greatly in how you handle it. I'm in need of him. So I ask you tonight, what are you treasuring? Well, How do I know what I need to do? Because you might examine where your treasure is and find out where your heart is. Usually you can look at your pocketbook or your calendar and you can find out what you treasure. I mean, it's that easy. You can find whatever time you're putting into and then whatever you're spending your money on. Those two things are what you put treasure in. And so just ask, are those treasures delighting God? Is he happy about that? Because he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Is he going to place the desires? Or is he just going to give you the worldly desires? No, he's not going to give you the worldly desires. He wants to place desires in your heart so that you can receive his things. So I asked myself to find out what my treasures are. I look at my checkbook at times, and I also look at my schedule. But I also ask this, what have you been saying yes or no to? What's the last thing you said yes to? Was it a God thing? Can you see God in it? Because if you said yes to it and it's not in his plan, then you're probably not going to delight in him, which means please him. And if you're not going to delight in him and please him, you're probably not going to have the right desires. And if you're not having the right, it's just a circle, and we get in this vicious circle of running away from God, and we didn't even know we were doing it. I want to end up in heaven one day, and there are things in heaven that I'm going to experience that aren't here. But the one thing that I won't experience in heaven that's any different than here is his will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means when you get in on his will here, and that's just Michelle and I's heart. If we can get on his will here, it's not going to change when we get to heaven. It's the same thing. So why not experience heaven right here? How can you do that? His will. Now, the streets of gold, the no sin, the no tears, all those things are going to be good. But know this, that's the differences, and we get caught up on the differences, but let's get caught up on the things we can do right here that are heaven, and that's his will. And we just need to continually be asking it, and if we'll get in on it, I'm telling you, it solves so much, and it's the blessed life, not based on everything that's going on in the natural, just based on the peace that it provides internally. I love being married, and I didn't know that I would ever be able to say that after about the second week of being married, because it was tough. But it takes a lot of work, and when you do things God's way, you can take care of all that junk and you can tend what God's entrusted to you. I hope that helps you tonight. Build your life on the rock. That's what we did. Y'all stand with me this evening.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance his kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.